الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون وقال تعالى في مقام آخر كل نفس ذائقة الموت صدق الله العظيم وعن البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه أن قال أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعيادة المريض وإتباع الجنازة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers, elders, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us with this wonderful and beautiful month of Ramadan. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has also blessed us with this wonderful day of Jumu'ah. How fortunate we are to have seen 10 days of this blessed month of Ramadan, keeping in mind that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَّلُهُ رَحْمَةً the first 10 days of the month of Ramadan are the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And inshallah this evening we will be moving over to أَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةً, the middle portion of the month of Ramadan, which Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described as being the days of Allah's maghfirah. And inshallah we will see the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, which is عِدْقُ مِنَ النَّارِ, the days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets free many, many souls from the fire of Jahannam. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those fortunate ones who make every second of this blessed month of Ramadan count. We cannot do justice in enumerating the blessings of the wonderful month of Ramadan. What a great gift Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. The mere fact that we witnessed this month 10 days, subhanallah, we can never ever thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appropriately for blessing us with such a wonderful opportunity in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding, and more importantly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to always be on track with regards to the time spent in the month of Ramadan. It needs to be spent in the best possible manner. We cannot afford to waste a moment of this blessed month, leave hours and leave days that people sometimes waste in the month of Ramadan. And always when it comes to the weekend that presents itself in the month of Ramadan, it's an ideal opportunity for all those working people to do some catch up with regards to their ibadah and maximizing their goodness in the month of Ramadan. If we utilize the weekends in the month of Ramadan in this manner, that we spend extra time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's a clear indication that had we been free and not so occupied as we are in the week, then this is where we would have spent our time. However, sometimes the mentality in the month of Ramadan is such that when the weekend sets in, then people need to kill time. Imagine there's those that are running short of time with regards to ibadah in this month of Ramadan, but there are others who find time to kill. So they want to kill time and they spend it in the malls and in various other places, wasting the month of Ramadan. Now that again is also an indication that had we not been occupied at all during the week, then we probably would have been spending our time in this manner, wasting time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Very quickly we move on to our topic of discussion for today. Two very important things that alhamdulillah are prevalent in our society. Two very meritorious deeds. Very, very high, they are held in high esteem in our deen. And there's immense reward for an individual that engages in these acts of goodness and these acts of virtue. Now the perfection of our deen is, one is it has outlined for us acts of virtue, but it has also outlined to us how should a Muslim conduct himself while doing this act of virtue. What should be a person's mindset and how should he conduct himself in various situations. Sometimes it's an occasion of joy, sometimes it's an occasion of sorrow, but be it as it may, whatever the occasion is, we are taught how to conduct ourselves in that specific occasion. And this is the beauty of our wonderful deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. But the two things that we're going to speak about today, the two acts of virtue, one is visiting the sick, and the other is following the procession of a funeral, attending a janazah salah, attending a funeral home, or also what we term as taziyat, where we visit the home of a deceased person. These are great acts of virtue which alhamdulillah are prevalent in society, and many people engage in these acts of virtue. But it's also important how we conduct ourselves while engaging in these acts of virtue. So very briefly, we're going to go through 4 points with regards to firstly visiting the sick. And these are derived directly from the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, when you open many of the books of hadith, you find an entire chapter dedicated to these very important topics which we find prevalent in society. To begin with, when a person is sick and you get news that a person is sick or he has taken ill, some problem has happened, the first thing that we should do is we should inquire from the relatives of that person as to what is his real condition, how serious is the sickness. Find out from those that are closest to him. Make an inquiry as to what it is, because sometimes we might hear the wrong information or an exaggerated version of the sickness, or sometimes we might even hear an underrated version of the real scenario. Sometimes the man is really critically ill and you hear, no, he's just not feeling well today, he's fine, he's in bed. But you don't know the seriousness. For us to really gauge what is the reality of the sickness, it is important that we find out from the family members of the person, how is he feeling, what is his real condition. Now imagine, that's what our deen teaches us. But really speaking, sometimes when we look at the way our lives are being conducted nowadays, and people are living so separate and so far away from each other, even though they are so closely connected by the various forms of technology, but still we worlds apart. So sometimes a person's brother is sick, and if somebody has to inquire from him and say, brother, I heard your brother is not well, how's everything? He'd say, no, you know, it's news to me, I don't even know. But let me find out, maybe I will see. Now that's also something for us to think about and a point for us to consider. What is our communication with regards to our family members in general, or even our distant family, our relatives? It's very, very important that those doors of communication are open all the time. Because there has to be, that is part of unity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us that we should be united. We should love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unity is something that is very, very important. And that person who maintains ties, he is really following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And especially in today's times when everything is so easy for us to contact one another. I mean, we have cell phones, we have everything, we have so many easy means of communication. It costs nothing just to keep that contact rolling, to know what's the situation and the status of each person, while not prying into a person's life, because for everything there's got to be limits. But the door of communication needs to be open, where somebody inquires from you, you are well aware of what's the condition of your family and those around you. So that's the first thing we need to do. We need to find out and inquire about the person's health. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his farewell sickness, then Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu came and visited him. This was the cousin of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he came out, and the moment he stepped out from the room of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Sahaba went to him and asked him that, oh Abdullah ibn Abbas, tell us, how is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Kayfa asbaha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And then he relayed the information saying, asbaha bi ni'matillahi bari'a. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam today has woke up in a much better condition than what he was in. There seems to be some slight improvement. But this is where we learn that we should inquire from the family members as to what is the actual status and the reality of the sick person. That's the first thing that we need to do. The second thing that we need to do is, when we go and visit a sick person, we must choose the appropriate and the right time. Sufyan Thawri once said, he said that an ignorant person visiting a sick person, so an ignorant visitor, is sometimes more detrimental to the sick man than his own sickness. An ignorant visitor is sometimes more detrimental to the sick person than his own sickness that he's facing. Because now he has to deal with two problems instead of one. One is he's battling with his own problem, but now he has somebody making it more difficult for him. So we must choose the appropriate time when to visit a person. Find out if we can even inquire what's the best time to visit the person. Go at that time. And when visiting a sick person, it's very important that we don't spend extra time over there. Sometimes we go there and we feel that, no man, you know, we're so close to the man, he needs our emotional support, and we sit there and we sit there, and the man is not going to tell us go. But sometimes we're really making it difficult. Sometimes there's medication that has to be taken at a certain time, or there's certain procedures that has to be done. So we need to keep our visit as short as possible. Many times the person that you're visiting, the sick man, will insist that you sit. He'll say, what's the rush? Sit for a little while. Now there's one of two reasons that he will be saying that for. Number one, he might say it for the simple reason that he is being courteous to you. Doesn't want you to just go, he knows you made the effort of coming, so he's just saying it to make you feel more comfortable, and he's telling you, no brother, don't rush, it's fine, sit. So that could be the first reason why he's saying it. And the second reason that he says this is, he probably genuinely wants you to stay longer. It will really mean a lot to him if you lengthen your stay. So to be on the safe side, lengthen your visit, but by not more than 5 minutes. So you made his heart happy, you stayed longer than you were supposed to, but also if by chance he was telling you, in the first sense, that you know what, stay just for the sake of it, you never overdid that too and made it more difficult for him. So stay for a few moments more just to make him happy. Thereafter, take the person's leave and move from there. And the third simple etiquette that we look at with regards to visiting a sick person is, when you visit him, make dua for him. There are so many duas mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we should make for the sick person. Simple duas. First, the most simplest thing that every person can do is, we should recite Surah Al-Fatiha 7 times and blow on the sick person. This is a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And like that, there are various other du'as. Allahumma shfihi, Allahumma aafihi, oh Allah, forgive this man, grant him ease, grant him comfort. And the other masnoon du'as, As'alullah al-azim, Rabbal arshi al-azim, ayyashfiq, that du'a to be recited 7 times as well. I ask Allah to cure the sick person, that Allah, oh Allah, cure this man. So there are many du'as that we can learn. We should make du'a for him, and at the same time, ask the sick person to make du'a for you. This is very, very important, and this is sometimes something that we miss out on. We go there, we think only we need to make du'a for him. You know, he's sick, everybody else, make du'a for him. Little do we realize, a person faced with a difficulty and a hardship, and especially a sick person, his du'a is more accepted than yours. Because he's in a difficult condition, Allah's mercy is more with him. So request him as well to make dua for you. Obviously he needs your dua for him to come out from his problem and for him to get cure for his sickness. So it's a two-way street. You give him dua, but at the same time ask him and tell him, you are in a condition that Allah's mercy is more on you than others right now, so you make dua for me as well. And the other thing is, we must always give the sick person hope. Irrespective of what the condition might be, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you visit a sick person, then give him hope and say something good. Your words will make no difference as to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to what will be the outcome of his results and the outcome of his sickness. It's not going to make no difference whatsoever. But the least that you're going to do is, you're going to make the man feel good. You're going to give him some hope. You're going to give him some courage. Now here again, sometimes people are over enthusiastic in this. We don't know how to do it. You see, sometimes a person is sick and somebody comes to visit him and they say, you know, what's the problem? The patient will explain, this is what I'm going through. You say, that's nothing, man. You know what I'm going through within myself? I mean, I'm in a worse problem than you. Now you make the man, you belittle his whole situation and you make yourself as if you're more sick than him, but you're still carrying on and you're moving around. Now that doesn't really work sometimes, because the person will probably go into more into depression. How come I can't be as strong as him? Look at him, he's moving. You know, on a lighter note, recently I went to visit a person, actually in this month of Ramadan, I went to visit a sick person. Now the man is upset that he has to miss his fast because he's in hospital. And he's emotional. He says, first time in my life, you know, I missed my fast. And it really was something difficult for him to bear. So there was somebody that came to visit him, and he's telling that person, he said, first time in my life I'm missing my fast, man. You know, I feel so terrible. But Allah knows best. So the man tells him that, you know me, I'm the same man. I can never miss my fast, irrespective of, you know how sick I am right now, but I'm still fasting. I mean, if the doctors know I'm fasting now, they'll be extremely upset with me. But I will never miss my fast. I can never do it. Now how it makes the man feel, I mean, he's, as it is, feeling bad of his situation, now you make him feel worse. Give the person good hope, make him feel nice. Tell him, don't worry, Allah has secured your reward for you. Make him feel good. And then sometimes you make a person more scared. Person tells you, this is my sickness. You say, hey, the thing is very bad. You know, my cousin here, some family member of mine had the same thing. He passed away, 2 weeks he was gone. You're lucky, you're still here. Don't make him more scared than he already is. Give the person hope. This is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Make him feel nice, make him feel comfortable. Sit and listen to him. Sometimes a sick person just wants to talk. He wants to tell you what's his problem. Listen to him. There's nothing wrong with that. But make dua for him that Allah grant him shifa. And request him as well to make dua for you. Don't make this good act of virtue something that will be a burden on him and something that goes the opposite in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's very important that we always learn these etiquettes in life. Because sometimes we're doing it, but we're not doing it in the right manner. It's very important that we keep note of all these etiquettes in our life. They might seem simple things and small things, but really they hold a lot of weight in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's move on to a more serious thing. Let's say the man doesn't make it from the sickness, and it's the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he leaves this world. And this is more my focus of discussion today. What happens when a person passes away? Now unfortunately it's very, very sad when we really look at the situation in today's times, how people conduct themselves in a funeral. I mean, it's so sad that sometimes a person, a funeral home can be easily mistaken as a wedding house. Now you must be wondering, how can that be possible? So very simple, if it is a wedding house, you'll go past, you'll see a lot of cars. You go past a funeral house, you'll see a lot of cars. If you go past a wedding house, you might find a marquee in the driveway. And you go past a funeral house, you might also see a marquee in the driveway. And you go past a wedding house, everybody is dressed to kill. And unfortunately, you go past the funeral house sometimes, and everybody is still dressed to kill. Now, while a life has already been lost and there's nothing to kill, people still dress like that. Now, it's a very, very serious thing. It's no joke. It's something we really need to take note of. When a death takes place upon a community, a person loses his life, then this is something that is difficult on the entire community. Today, the only people that are grieving is the bereaved family, and that's it. Nobody else. The people closest to the mayyat, to the one who that has passed away, they're the only ones that grieve in. They're the only ones that are reminded of death. They're the only ones that are in the situation. And for everybody else, it's just part of life. Oh, we attended the funeral. Sometimes you look at people's behavior even in the qabristan, in the graveyard. Subhanallah, that's even worse. We are so close to death when we attend a funeral. We're looking at the janazah in front of us. So we close, so close to the concept of death physically. But spiritually, it's like we're miles away from the concept of death. It's as if it doesn't even exist. Whereas the mere fact that you attend a janazah, a funeral procession, or you're there for the burial of a person, supposed to be a clear indication of the shortness of life for yourself. That this man has left the world, I don't even know when I'm going to leave this world. What's going to be my condition when I leave this world? What's happening to that person now that he has left the world? These are things that's supposed to be going through our mind. It's supposed to be things that we're supposed to be pondering over. It's definitely not a time to dress up. It's definitely not a time for chit-chat. It's not a time to be involved in various things. You go to funerals, people are laughing, people are joking, people are on the cell phone. It's as if they have come to a function. It's something that we really, really need to take note of in our life. We need to really be careful. We look at the various hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to funerals and the funerals that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attended himself and the emotion that he showed in funerals. If this was the emotion that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed, then what type of emotion do we need to show? Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, when he was in his farewell sickness, Sa'd ibn Ubadah was what we would term on his deathbed, terminally ill. With him was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, a whole group of Sahaba. So they go and they visit him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at the condition of Sa'd radiallahu anhu. So sad, you know, it was so difficult for him to see. That baka Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began crying. And فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَوْمُ بُكَاءَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بَكَوْ. When they saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam crying, everybody burst into tears. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showing emotion at the critical moment. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a statement and he said, أَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ. People listen very carefully to me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُعَذِّبُ بِدَمْعِ الْعَيْنِ وَلَا بِحُزْنِ الْقَلْبِ وَلَكِنْ يُعَذِّبُ بِهَذَا. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh people listen, Allah doesn't take a person to task with the tears that flow from his eyes or the grief that he feels in his heart. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes and takes a person to task by his tongue. That means it's very important what a person says at times of calamity and difficulties, what he utters from his mouth, sometimes he will be taken to task with regards to that. But the grief in your heart, the flowing of tears, that's all. That's part of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where is that mercy? When we study the concept of attending funerals and janazas, then all the hadith and our deen speaks about keeping a person in check from going overboard in his emotion and in his difficulty. That means he mustn't start now wailing and questioning the degree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cursing himself and saying things that are not to be said. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you are present by a janazah, then watch what you say, because fa'innal malaika, the angels say ameen to whatever words are uttered from your lips. So you always have to be in check with regards to how you conduct yourself. There must not be that exaggeration of emotion. That's what our deen conditions us with regards to attending funerals. But if we look at today's time, leave extra emotion, there's an absolute lack of emotion. We are in a totally opposite situation. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes in the time of ignorance, what used to happen when the funeral used to take place was that they would get people just to come over there and, you know, hype up everybody to cry. They would just come there and cry for nothing, and they'll make a whole lot of noise, and they would tear their clothes, they would beat their chests, and they make unnecessary noise. So Shariat came, Deen came, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam abolished these things and said that no, this is not the way you conduct yourself in a funeral. So that was an exaggeration of emotion. Today we got the opposite of that. There's no emotion at all. Everybody is, it's like there's no mayat, it's like there's no funeral. Now we need to come in the middle. There has to be some emotion. There has to be some reflection. There has to be some pondering of the shortness of this life. That man is on a road that we are following. We are right behind him. Look at the du'as we recite. When we enter the graveyard, what do we say? As-salamu alaykum dar qawmi mu'mineen. And what you say? Wa inna insha'allahu bikum lahiqoon. Sometimes we say, but we don't know what we're saying. We're saying, indeed, by the will of Allah, we soon gonna join you. Antum salafuna, you just beat us. Wa nahnu bil athar, we're right behind you. That's what you're saying when you enter in the graveyard. You're saying you just went first, I'm behind you, but we both going through the same door. We come in, we're in the same line. But are we in the same line? When you look at the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hatta zurtumul maqabir. There, if we open the tafsir of Qurtubi and we see what he has mentioned with regards to that verse, then what's supposed to be the mindset of a person when he visits the graveyard? When you go to that qabristan, what reflection a person supposed to have? What he's supposed to think about? He says that when you stand by the grave, then you must look at that grave and think about the inmate of that grave. كَيْفَ إِنْ قَطَعَتْ أَمَالُهُمْ. How that man's hopes were cut short, other than for the one who was critically ill and on his deathbed and went through a long procedure of sickness and then left this world. Let's talk about the person who just had a heart attack. Oh Allah forbid, some accident, some difficulty. And what we term as sudden death, unplanned, he passed away. How his hopes were dashed. How many a man made his appointment set out for the whole week? He never got to see that day. How many a man in advance he made payments for a holiday, but he never got to see the next day. How their hopes were cut off. How they were separated from their families. وَمَحَتْ تُرَابُ مَحَاسِنُ وُجُوهِهِمْ. And how the sand wiped away the beauty of their faces. That's what happens when you go in that grave. And it's a time of reflection. And today you find people standing. This is what's the condition beneath the grave. And on top people are laughing. People are talking. People are joking. And they're waiting for the janazah to come. There's no reflection. There's no pondering. There's no recitation of the Quran. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he was present for the janazah of a sahabi. And then when the janazah salah was over, hatta when he was buried, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waqafa alayhi. He stood for a while by that person's grave, by that sahabi's grave. And he said, istaghfiru li akhikum. He said, oh my sahaba, take the moment to make dua that Allah forgive your brother. Seek forgiveness for him. فَإِنَّهُ الْآنْ يُسْأَلْ. No, وَسَلُوا لَهُ التَّثْبِيتِ. Ask Allah to keep him steadfast. Because interrogation is about to begin. Question is about to start. Standing by the grave. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Seek forgiveness. Ask Allah to forgive your brother. Ask Allah to keep him steadfast. He's about to be questioned. Now today the man is buried and we're standing there. And there's no concept of even we're going to leave this world or somebody has left the world. And these are very important things that we really need to take stock of in society. One wonders, in what direction are we headed to? And then when we come back, when a person passes away, I said that the only people who find difficulty and are grieved is the bereaved family. Now what happens in a community? A person passes away, the community is supposed to take over and come to the aid of a person. Today our communities are gone such that the moment a mayyit takes place in a house, the bereaved family, their first concern is, hey, you know, we're going to be getting a lot of guests, what are we going to do, how are we going to host them? You're not supposed to be thinking of that. The community is supposed to be thinking, somebody has passed away, let's see what help the people need. And today sometimes the concept of death is so far from our hearts and our minds that there was one funeral that had taken place, a person just passed away, still in hospital. And after the person passed away, while in hospital, they're discussing now what arrangements they're going to make with regards to host and everything. One family member comes and they say, you know, what are we going to cook, man? What's on the menu? I think we should make kalya, man. You know, it comes out very nice. Always, funeral kalya tastes very nice. I mean, I happen to be present, I'm looking at that person like, I mean, am I hearing right? Somebody has just passed away. The person is talking about food. And he said, no, the food comes out very nice. You know, we must use this cook. He makes lovely food. That's not what you're supposed to be speaking about. It's a time that Allah has given you to sit and reflect. You have lost an individual. It's a time of sabr. It's a time for you to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to now be conditioning your mind that this person has left this world. You're going to move on in life. You allowed that 3 days of mourning, what we would say. But today, the first thing we're worried about is how we're going to accommodate everyone else. Whereas everybody else is supposed to be worried about how they're going to accommodate you and be there in your time of need. So that too has also gone opposite. And sometimes we visit the home of a person who has passed away, the deceased home, or we go and visit the bereaved family, and we say we're going to give them a shoulder of support. But if we go in this condition that they're making all the arrangements and they're doing everything, then instead of giving them a shoulder of support, we add into their burden. We'll make it more difficult. And what's even worse is sometimes, I'm sure many people must have witnessed this, is what happens after that person is buried and now the food is served. You wonder sometimes whether it's a meal that's taking place after a janaza or a walima. What's the difference between the two? There are people every Pastor Papa, hey, how's that doll? It's lovely, man. Hey, give me some more. It's like there was no funeral that had taken place. Nobody left the world. There's no difference. This is not the way we're supposed to be conducting ourselves. When it comes to the concept of death, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرُ هَذِي مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. Frequently and constantly being the remember of the destroyer of all pleasures. And that is death. You're supposed to be thinking of it constantly and frequently. Even when death is right in front of us, we're not thinking of death. Leave thinking of keeping it constantly in our minds. Why? Because when a person keeps death in front of him, then he will always be, it's not to frighten us, it's not to make us lose hope. And now tonight we'll be scared to sleep and scared to all of the masjid and worried, you know, when we're going to leave this world. No, it's there to keep you in check with your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For if the constant thought of death is in front of you, and the fact that you have to leave this world is always in front of you, then your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always going to be in order. Then you're not going to let Allah find you in a condition that you don't want Him to find you. You're not going to be in His disobedience. You're going to make sure your life is in accordance to the teachings of deen and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why you need to be constantly thinking of death. But leave constantly thinking, when the time comes to think of death, then we should think of it. At least for those moments. Because if it's for that time we think of death, there's definitely benefit for us. It will definitely make a difference in our spirituality. What I said, when we attend funerals and people are dressed to kill, with the women folk, the men folk likewise. And sometimes, you see the Qurans and the Yasins, everything come out when the mayyit takes place. But that's only for the ladies. For the men, for them it's just socializing. You know, I never meet this guy for long. We talk of our business dealings, everything. For them, no Yasins, no Qurans, no Siparas. But the women too, they dress to kill. The only thing that we kill in is our spirituality. That's what's being killed. And that's very, very dangerous. It's not a time for us to dress up. Now again, let's come in between. It's not now we should keep special clothes for mourning and we dress a certain way only when we're mourning and a certain way when we're happy. Adopt the middle path. It's not a time to dress up, neither it's a time for you to dress like you're mourning. Dress normally, but have that concept of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact that I also have to tread the same path that this janaza has tread. And then we move on to another weakness we have in society. Now we finished. Attend the funeral, we're there, the janaza salah has been performed. And now that mayyat is taken and put in the qabr. And now the time comes to put sand in the grave. Oh subhanallah, now here there's a weakness in almost every funeral that you attend. Who puts sand in the grave? It's only the bereaved family and the old bajis. Well, sometimes you worry, you want to tap him and say, "But please take it easy, uncle. There's already one janazah. You'd rather stand one side." Because he'll be carrying on. And all the young boys, mashallah, probably a few hours before that janazah salah, they must have been in the gym and they're busy with their biceps and their triceps and their push-ups and their sit-ups and everything. And they come there well-toned. Biceps, triceps, six-pack, everything. And mashallah, they just stand and they watch. Nobody can pick up that spade, it's too heavy. This is a responsibility of the community. There's a reward mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for you to bury a Muslim, for you to put sand in that grave. Now again, people just stand and they watch. Nobody wants to partake. Why? Why do we have those sort of things prevalent in society? Where's that spirit of brotherhood? Where's that spirit of unity? Where's that spirit of gaining from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would partake of the burial. He would be there to help when burying the sahaba radiallahu anhum. A sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We might say farzul kifaya, it's on the whole community. Few people take charge of it, everybody else is absolved. Are we absolved of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Let's make some effort, let's try and change the culture that has suddenly become prevalent amongst us. It's not the way, this is not the direction that we want to be going in. And then there's another simple thing. Whenever we look at janazah being mentioned, and it's called itba'il janazah. That means following the janazah. Now again, you know what happens? The hearse will park off, everybody forms two lines in a row, and the janazah is passed from one end to the other end. But what is itba'il janazah? Following the funeral procession. Look at the words. That's the words Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used. Follow. You can't follow it if you're standing in front. So it's simple. People walk behind the janazah. Obviously now we can't expect just a few people to be carrying it the whole way. People can come and go from the sides, but follow it. Let it be in front, you stand it back and follow it till it comes to that grave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to take note of the simple social etiquettes that we have prevalent amongst us. When it comes to visiting the sick, there's a manner that we need to do it. And when somebody leaves this world, it's a time of reflection. It's a time of ponderation. One day we have to leave this world. How are we going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's going to be our condition when death comes to us? If we think of this when a person leaves this world, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy when the time comes that we have to leave this world. Innaka mayyitu wa innahum mayyitun. Allah told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have to leave this world and they have to leave this world. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul has to taste death. Al-mautu ka'sun wa nasu sharibuha. Death is a cup that everybody has to take a sip of, whether we like it or not, whether we prepared for it or not, it's still going to come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.